Good morning. We are into November already, November 3rd, 2019. And the only reason I give the date is because people ask me what's the most recent talk and all that, so I give the date for them. It doesn't really matter. You'll hear what you need to hear when you need to hear it. We are looking at this wonderful book called Leave Your Nets by Joel Goldsmith. And of course, it has to do with, we say, dying to a material sense of self, but that somehow doesn't feel like the right word because you don't really die. But you step out of, or you put off, mortality. You put off a material sense of self, and you put on immortality. Paul taught us that is the way to go. That's the path. And Joel is reiterating that here. I can't talk this morning. My tongue is tied. I'm enjoying a cup of Jamaica Blue Mountain coffee. I think it's the best coffee in the world. And I give myself that treat every once in a while. And I woke up this morning, and when I went downstairs, there was a note at my place at the dining room table. And it said, "I hope you enjoy your breakfast. Love, your daughter." And there was an egg and a couple of strips of bacon and a biscuit. And I did enjoy it. And I don't know if I'll see her in passing because she's working now. But I drew a funny face and put a beard on it and drew a little arrow and said, "Yum." In other words, I did enjoy my breakfast. And I put it on the refrigerator next to where she has to walk into her bedroom. So, it's a wonderful way to start your day, don't you think? With love externalized. Now, we're getting to this chapter, which is chapter 3, self-completeness. And why is it important that we understand that we're self-complete in God? It's important because, well, if you know that you're self-complete in God, you won't go looking all over the planet for supply. You won't go looking for that right, perfect companion. You won't go seeking 100 different ways to get healthy. You will know that your completeness in every area is in God. And so you'll take this chapter seriously and contemplate it, meditate on it. What I do is I read, a paragraph or two. This first page here ends with almost ends with a quote from John about the vine. And after I read that, or read that quote, I put the book down and I meditated. And I can't read anymore until I get whatever it is that's calling to me in those two paragraphs and that quote. And that's the way I approach these books. I don't just read it right through like I'm reading a good Jack Reacher novel. No, I take my time. I try and sometimes succeed at entering into the consciousness that spoke these words. And we know that it's Christ consciousness. All right, I seem to be all over the place. Let's focus here. It's important that you understand your self-completeness, because remember in the book Beyond Words and Thoughts, in the chapter Incorporeality of God, Man, and Universe, We are told at the end of that chapter that we have to bring forth invisible supply, invisible companionship, invisible health, invisible life. We have to bring it forth from the invisible. And this is what this is saying in this chapter called Self-Completeness. Once you understand you are complete, self-complete in God, another thing will happen. You'll find that you're praying less. Far, far less. Things are just happening. They happen to you. There's something coming up. You know you owe $1,200. You don't pray. You just sit back in your self-completeness and you commune with that, with feeling that, really feeling that, not thinking it. Thinking won't do it. And as you commune with that self-completeness in God, as you feel that inner oneness in your meditation, that's all you do. You don't ask, you don't beg, you don't plead. And then you find out that whatever it was you needed shows up right at the right exact moment. It's fabulous. And I was talking with someone just last night, and I said, when these things stop happening, you know you're doing something wrong. And it's true. When you stop living in this fourth dimension, which appears outwardly as your fulfillment, then you're living as a human being, and these things don't happen. So let's, if we can, get quiet. If you haven't had the 11 o'clock meditation we had this morning, have one now, and then come back to this. We're going to enter into the consciousness that spoke these words. He says, you are self-complete through God. You are not and never will be complete because of any effort you have ever made toward being good or being spiritual. That's kind of a letdown sometimes, isn't it? I mean, I've struggled with some of these principles. I mean, struggled hard. And here he is saying, you are not complete because of any effort you've ever made at being spiritual. And yet, we know, I know, that the struggle is what has sometimes allowed me to catch a glimpse or to be able to practice the principle I've been struggling with. So it's a paradox. We need the structural, we need the struggle to come to an inner realization of the principle and to live it. And yet no effort of ours, we're not complete or self-complete through any effort of our own. Isn't that strange? You have to have the effort to reach the effortless. I can tell you, well, let's read a little more, and then maybe we'll go into that story. Your completeness is in God. This is in accordance with the teaching of the Master, Christ Jesus. I can of mine own self do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, all the power of Jesus was really the power of the Christ made evident through Jesus. Remember that, in and of yourself, you are nothing except that God be the reality of your being. Christ is your true identity, and in Christ you are fulfilled in all your completeness, so you can draw on your Christhood for anything to the extent of your realization of this truth. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, I've already seen three or four things that I can take out of here to meditate on. All the power of Jesus was really the power of the Christ made evident through Jesus. You know, we're never going to be something of ourselves, but we're not nothing. I had that feeling in the first years of my life. I'm nothing. I didn't like myself very much either. But what I was feeling, I know now, but I didn't know then, was a lack of power. I had to find God in order to feel complete. I could not feel complete by myself, and I looked around at other people, and they didn't seem to need this power. They just went on being all they could be, and they seemed quite satisfied. Whereas I always felt there's something missing. What's missing? Even when the good things of life came to me, there's something missing. And it wasn't until I had my first spiritual experience that I knew what had been missing. And it was this presence of God. So I would probably take that the power of the Christ made evident through Jesus and take that within myself and meditate on that. The power of Christ. Well, what's the power of Christ? It doesn't feel like a power to me. I don't know if it does to you. It doesn't feel like a power. This Christ that I feel in my meditation and sometimes when I'm talking, like a little while ago, It feels like the comforter. And in the presence of that comforter is harmony. Harmony of every nature, harmony of every area. And so in the presence of that comforter is harmony of being, harmony of life, harmony of body, harmony of health, harmony of supply, harmony of companionship. Of companions. And that feels like a gentle presence that is just expressing quietly, silently. So it doesn't feel like a power to me, except that it changes the outer picture. Or rather, our dwelling in it, we're abiding in the vine. And we bring forth fruit. Or in our modern language, we are communing with the Christ. We enter Christ's consciousness, the awareness of Christ, and it appears as harmony rather than our human mind of good and evil appearing as, well, good and evil. So, we want to know how to abide in the vine. And the second thing I would have taken into meditation would have been, Christ is your true identity, and in Christ you are fulfilled in all your completeness. So you can draw on your Christhood. Now, what is Christ? How do I draw on it? These are questions I would ask myself. I would ask my capital S self, what are you and how do I draw on you? We know we can't do it by begging and beseeching. In fact, we don't even know what we're supposed to draw forth. Which is why Paul said that the Spirit has to make intercession. And so it's enough, you don't have to know. Did you know that? You don't have to know what you're supposed to draw forth. You only have to surrender. Again, silence, the true silence, is not an absence of sound. You can be in the middle of Chicago and someone with a jackhammer and police directing traffic with a whistle and cars screeching away and from the curb and all kinds of things. And you can attain the silence. Silence is not an absence of sound. Silence is an absence of self, the little s self. And if you look, you really look, all of these scriptures are telling us that that self has to stop. Just for once, would you just stop? And in that stopping, in that moment of silence, there's an absence of self. No thoughts, no words, no desires, just waiting upon the Lord. And you might say, Father, reveal thyself. What is Christ, and how do I draw on it? And then you stand still. And it will either come to you, sometimes it comes in words, or the word is uttered within you. It's a different feeling than thought. And it brings with it, yes, power. But most times, for me, it comes, I ask, what is Christ, and how do I draw on it? And then sometime that day or the next, I have an experience that makes me go, aha! Because the experience is the answer to the question I asked. It brings about events that are impossible to... There's no way that that could be just a coincidence, and you know it. You ask a question like this in your meditation, and you're silent, which opens the door for a response. And the Christ of you shows you through events in your life, answers you that way. And something comes into your life that had to have started on its way 15 years ago. And yet it gets here right at this moment, or the next, right after you ask that question that morning. And it answers it. How does that work like that? It's fabulous. It's really a miracle. It's miraculous. But it doesn't feel like power. It feels to me like omniscience and omnipresence and omni-harmony. Okay, so the third thing in this paragraph would have been, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And that's the same question. How do I abide in him, whom to know aright is life eternal? How do I do that? How do I abide in it? And I would ask. And it would come forth either as a quote, a scripture, a new set of words I've never heard before, like the ones that come to me, like... We have to live in a temple not made by mind. We have to live in a temple made by spirit, by this invisible essence. We are self-complete by living in this invisible essence and then beholding as it manifests. It forms itself by something that was sent to you 15 years ago and finally arrived right exactly at the right moment. So there's three things that I would have taken into meditation, and I wouldn't even be past the first page of this chapter. And it may have taken 3 days. I'm not past the first page, you see? You understand? This is how we enter into the consciousness that uttered these words. Not by reading them like a Jack Higgins novel like The Eagle Has Landed, where we're really caught up in the thriller and the suspense and can't wait to get to the end. Well, yes, you can read it that way, and then you can say, well, I know these things because I can quote some of them. But you haven't entered into the consciousness, and the whole purpose of uttering these things was so that you can go and do likewise in the same consciousness. So I have learned to take my time, to take whatever comes into my meditation, and to put the book down, and then to go into my meditation, ponder it for a moment, and then to stop and listen and be receptive. Because if I learn how to abide in him, if I learn how to receive him, then I will be given the ability to express him. In other words, I will be the expression of God, or the Son of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power, or the ability, the realization, to express him. All that from only three parts of this first page of this chapter. Now, Joel had an experience by contemplating a tree outside his house there in Hawaii, and it must have moved him a great deal. In fact, I think it happened more than once, because he uses this example over and over of the tree. In many of his books, this example is there. Think of a tree with its trunk and its root system deep down in the earth. And then think of the branches on the tree. And the tree has a root system which draws into it the food from the earth, or the essence. It has a distributing system that sends the food up through the trunk, out into the branches. There is a catalytic agent that turns the sun and the air and the water into some kind of an essence that feeds the branches and later becomes the fruit. Now, for a moment, think of yourself as a branch and realize you are being fed through the trunk or the vine from the earth. As a human being, you are not partaking of that divine substance. You are a branch cut off from the trunk of the tree. Let's go find that quote. I'll be right back. It is John 15. And it starts by saying, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. All right, so every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What does that mean? There again is something else to contemplate. We approach this from many different angles. In the beginning, we see ourselves as the branch, and we recognize we have to abide in Christ within our being. And we search around for how, and we ask questions, and we read books, and we listen to talks, and we find out how. We must begin in our meditation to learn how to stop. And then we must learn how to take no thought. And then we must learn how to rest back. There remaineth the rest to my people. All right? Now, if we rest back, we are abiding in the Christ of our being. Let's put it this way. I see the Christ as the movement of God. I feel the Christ as the movement of God, which would be the expression or the Son of God. And when I feel that movement within, I recognize I am abiding in Christ. I am obeying the command to abide in me. But when I don't spend any time at all abiding in Christ, it doesn't take too long to be overwhelmed by the world thought. And then I'm thinking, very much so, I'm thinking, why have I run out of money? Because I've been abiding in my bank account instead of in me, the Christ, the invisible. Why is this relationship turning sour, or at least we're arguing all the time? Because I haven't been abiding in me. I've been abiding in my best attempt at a relationship. I've been abiding in my emotions. And then all of a sudden my health is turning south. What's wrong? What am I doing? I'm abiding in my health. I'm not resting in the essence and allowing it to manifest. I have my idea of what kind of exercises I should do. I have my idea of what kind of relationship this should be. I have my money, my bank account. All of this is my. It's a personal sense of existence. This is the one that has to move over. And if you can't do it all the time, at least find a way to do it in your meditation. Because something happens. Something happens in that meditation. And before you know it, you're carrying that abiding out into the world with your eyes open. And you're feeling that movement. It's quite wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful when you feel that movement. And let's say you're standing in the middle of an elevator with 12 people around you. You feel that movement. You don't even know if it's for someone there or for yourself, but you let it flow. It's wonderful. You have the secret of secrets. You know how to abide in me. So, he says, if you don't do that, if you don't abide in him and you're living in this personal life, it withers and dies. What happens if you abide in me at the last moment before your passing? What do you move into? Well, if you're abiding in the vine and you're learning to do this, even with eyes open, then you know your self-completeness is in Christ. Actually, you know that Christ is expressing you. Christ is living you. And so when you lay down this vehicle and step into the invisible, you're Christ. But when you are here in the invisible, Christ is expressing, so you're Christ. And then you can walk into the invisible and out again at will. Okay, we're getting kind of deep there. Let's get back to this. He says, if we use this illustration of the vine, we begin to perceive, although there seems to be a sense of separation, actually, there is none. No, the only sense of separation comes when you're living in a separate self without this contact. How many times has Joel said, you can't have one time in the morning does you for all day? The world thought will overtake you. So you have to renew it over and over during the day. And it only takes a moment, a second. I mean, we're talking about a 1 minute, 2 minute meditation. You can do that at your desk at work. I know I've done it. And if you can't, because people are talking and talking and talking, and maybe that's part of your job, you can excuse yourself. And I used to go into the restroom and get quiet there for a minute or two. They didn't know I wasn't using the restroom. I was using it to get quiet. But who cares? I did. And some amazing things happened. Let me tell you about an experience I had in a factory. I was making digital magnetic tape drives in the 70s. And I tried to solder something onto the motherboard, and I just couldn't get it. I could not get it. I tried and tried. Now I'm fairly intelligent. I tried and tried to get this soldering right, and the inspector would look at it and shake her head. Nope. Got to do it again. We can't release these out into the business world unless they're built right, and I wasn't building them right. Oh yes, I had all the mechanical assembly parts right, but I had to solder these wires, and my solder was like a big glop on there, and you're not supposed to do that. And on the other hand, you can't just paint it. That's not enough either. There's a middle ground where there's enough to cover it, and it's solid, and it's not going to wiggle off or shake off, but there's not too much. And I couldn't get it. I tried and tried. And finally I said to myself, I know what I need to do. And I went into the restroom there, and I sat down, and I got quiet, and I felt this inner movement, this Christ of my being, which is the Christ of your being. It's the Christ of all being, and it knows how to solder. But I didn't know that. So I felt that movement. I came back out, had a cup of coffee. They offered coffee for free. And I went back to my bench, picked up the soldering iron and a piece of solder, and I touched them together on this motherboard, this wire, and it flowed like it was, like it had a mind of its own. It just flowed perfectly, and I pulled back the soldering iron, and it was perfect. And I did 15 of them. They were all the same, all perfect. And I showed the inspector, and she smiled and shook her head. Yes, they're ready to move. And all the units went out the door. You see? It's amazing. It's outstanding to live watching this movement move through you. That's the experience of abiding in the vine and bringing forth fruit. And you wouldn't think the infinite Christ is going to help me solder this wire, would you? Or something like that, whatever your job is. And actually, I wasn't thinking that either. I didn't ask for Christ to show me how to solder that wire. I just knew that I needed to get still and feel that movement, and then we'll see what happens. So, I don't ask for specific things, except unless it's show me how to abide in you, something of a spiritual nature. But when I need $1,200, I don't say, please show me this $1,200. I know enough now to know that that's not the way to pray. That, again, is a personal sense of self going to Christ. Now we have separation. No, I have to be the outer expression of that Christ, and the only way I can do that or be that is to abide in me, the Christ. And then I feel its movement, and these beautiful things happen out here, and $1,200, probably $1,400 shows up, so that there's a little extra. And it's wonderful. I know I'm self-complete in God. So he says, he's going on about the example of the tree, the life that flows through the roots into the trunk or vine and then out into the branches is the same life that later appears as blossoms and fruit. Yes, that's absolutely right. the life that is that inner movement is the life that flows up and appears as the ability to solder. Who knew? Well, I do now, and you do. And I've seen that happen with the car, too, when I've tried to take something apart so I could take it to the auto store and get another piece, and the particular thing I'm working on won't move. Even when I sprayed WD-40 on it, I can't get it to move. And then I sit still. It's always the same answer. I sit still and I stop. I listen. I wait upon the Lord. I wait upon this movement. Because I know the movement and fulfillment are one. And I feel it. I go back to the car with my eyes open and I take my wrench and it turns. I don't know why, but it turns. I take it out. I take it to the auto store. I swap it for a new one. I bring it back. I put it in. It starts right up. Everything's good. So that's the difference. Do you see the little difference? It looks like the same guy. I mean, I could be living in a personal sense of self and trying to turn this bolt, and I can also be bearing witness to Christ as it turns the bolt. You see, it looks the same from the outside. Nobody can tell what you're doing. That's one of the beautiful things about this. You can be totally anonymous. Nobody knows what you're doing inside. They may wonder looking at you. They may say, why is all these good things happening? But then they'll come and ask you, like Joel says, what are you doing lately? How come all this stuff is happening? And then you can do what you're instructed to do and lead them to a copy or give them a copy of Living the Infinite Way or Practicing the Presence, which is where you're supposed to start. Now, on the next page he says, at this moment you are the branch that is visible, but you are one with the vine, connected to this invisible Christ of your being, the connecting link with the Father, which is the tree experience, would be the life through which the tree draws its sustenance. All right, now, that's what I was going to say. You start out being the branch, but eventually, in your meditation, you make the discovery, oh my God, I am the Christ. And if you have a teacher, you quietly tell them. I called Herb one night and I said, Herb, I am that I am. And he said, well, yeah. He didn't say that, but he said something like that, which meant, you know, he'd known it all along. But it was wonderful to find somebody that could say, yes, you're on the right track. This is right. Now, that doesn't mean you walk out of there and you can walk on water, because you're still living, most of the time, as a personal material sense of life, separate, as a branch. And you're learning to abide in the vine. But eventually, you'll discover. And how it will come to you, I don't know. You can't just say the words and repeat them to yourself. That doesn't work. But somewhere it'll come to you. Wait, I am the vine. And then you'll be, well, abiding in yourself. Now, surgery from head to foot will never reveal the Christ of your being because it's not physical. It would be as difficult to see as it would be to take a seed and dissect it in an attempt to find life in it. long time ago, years and years ago, I read the autobiography of a yogi. I think that was the name of it. And I can remember a story in there about a doctor who was in the middle of surgery, had a person cut open, was looking inside of them, and suddenly the thought came to him, where is the person? And he couldn't answer it. It was suspended inside of himself. Where is the person? And of course, this started him on his spiritual journey. And that stuck with me. And that's what Joel's saying here. You cannot find Christ in you from your head to your foot. And you cannot find the invisible life inside the seed. Now, we've all had gardens, I suppose, or seen them anyway. It's quite wonderful. It's a miracle. You take a seed, perhaps you dried it out 2 years ago. Maybe you were eating a cantaloupe and you dried out some seeds thinking you'd plant them, but you forgot about it. You put them in a cupboard somewhere and suddenly you discover them. And maybe it's getting near planting time in your part of the world. So you take the seeds and you put them in the ground and you water them and you put up some string or something around the garden and you wait. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for that inner movement inside the ground that acts upon that seed. And you know, and you're right, because 14 days later, here comes a little shoot, little green shoot coming up. And you watch and you take care of it. You make sure it has water. If it doesn't rain a lot in your area, you water it. Maybe you give it some, what do we have now? We have miracle plant or something. And you sprinkle some of that on it. And the thing, it's huge. It gets really big. It's a vine and it is filling up the whole left side of your garden. From a little 1-inch shoot to a 21-foot vine. And then here come these little green balls. Little tiny things, not much bigger than a pea. Each day they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And before you know it, you have 6 or 7 watermelons. Now, where did that come from? Well, you're probably more than willing to say that came from the invisible. Life or nature acted upon that seed and drew the sustenance from the ground, from the earth, the sun, and the rain, and out came this plant. But if you look at it, you know, and I know, something invisible acted upon that seed, flowed out through the seed into the earth and then above the ground and then everywhere down the one side of your garden. And you cut the watermelon, and if you took care of it properly, it's so sweet and so juicy. And you think, I guess the Native Americans were better at this than some of us are today. They would usually thank the earth and the Great Spirit for the sustenance they received. Perhaps we need to do a little more of that, I don't know, but I did. I thanked the earth, the ground, the invisible essence that operated on it, the sunshine, and the plant for sharing. Now, we're more than willing to accept that invisible essence operating on the seed. But then when we think of ourselves and we think of the money we need by next month, oh, now we check our bank account. We don't look to the invisible. We don't abide in the vine. We're living a personal sense of self which has to fail. Every prophet that's ever walked has said that. If you live in this state of consciousness, it will come to nothing. And I did blow upon it. But what happens when you learn, like the plant? The plant isn't taking any thought, it's abiding in me. What happens when you do that? You take no thought for personal life. You abide in me and see what comes forth. It is truly wonderful. I have found in my case, I'm not rich, but that which I need continually flows. And even when unexpected things happen, it flows. It's amazing. Last year we had January, it was pretty cold, and our heat pump went out. We'd had it for 15 years, and it was dead. it was finished. It would not heat even a tin cup anymore. It was done. So we called. We had to get a new one, especially since we work with foster children, and you have to have a healthy environment, or they'll come and they'll take those foster children and move them out for their welfare. So we investigated, and I called a guy that I trust, and he said, yes, I can put one in for you. Well, how much? $8,000. Oh, no, I don't have $8,000. But something started to happen. We went into meditation. My wife went into prayer. I went into meditation. And this inner vine, this inner essence started to quiver. You can feel it. I don't know what words to put on it. It's a movement. The spirit moves over the face of the deep. You can feel a movement over your consciousness, or through or from your consciousness. And then you know something's going to appear. You don't know what. That's part of the fun. And sure enough, something did appear. And we've almost paid it off. And I think we have about 4 more payments and it'll be paid off. And so it's nice. It's keeping us nice and toasty downstairs. All right. I'm not sure why I got off into that, but... He says the same thing, how we simply take on faith in the truth that there is a life working in the seed, and that that life will appear outwardly as a plant. How readily we accept that. How simple it is to understand. But why are we not willing to accept the truth that as branches of the tree of life, we are not self-sustaining? Why do we continue to think of ourselves as separate human beings, each one dependent upon himself for his wisdom, supply, understanding, and intelligence, even for the health and strength of his body? Why do we never once think of this universal life flowing as an invisible bond into and through each one of us, and realize that it is this life force, this essence that appears as the fulfillment of our life? Why? Because we don't let it. Oh, it's easy to let nature take its course in our garden, but it's not very easy to let spirit take its course in our lives, our personal lives, is it? We have ideas, we have plans, we have goals. We have a material sense of self. And we don't want to get out of the driver's seat. What will happen if I really let go? Will I be a hole in the donut? Oh no, my friend. You will be infinite. And an infinite number of donuts, if that's what you need. Okay, so this chapter, self-completeness, he's suggesting that you abide in the vine. self-completeness through God. Do you see how self-complete a tree is? Yes, that tree really did something for him. He meditated on that tree several times. That's why all mystical literature has used the terms within and withinness. It's not that the apples are inside of the tree. They are not apples until they appear outside. But the essence, that essence is what you have to feel, or substance of the apples, is flowing through the branches and becoming the form which appears as apples. Yes. Yes, yes. There are no companions inside of you. There are no bodies, healthy or otherwise, inside of you. There are no dollar bills or automobiles or houses or clothes inside of you, or vacations. What there is this essence, this invisible life, this Christ. And it is God's idea of a son. You see, one of the things that impressed me, or pressed itself upon me while studying the Kailua Study Series, the 1955 talks by Joel, was this idea that God expresses as invisible form, as invisible essence. That's God's Son, and it is infinite, and it is omniscient, and it is omnipresence and omnipotence. The all and the only God in expression, invisible. So there's no material forms within you. There is this invisible essence. And if and when you learn to abide in it and let it move in you, in your consciousness, then it appears out here as form. But it is not the form. It's the essence that's flowing. And it always flows as your need fulfilled, whatever that need is. If it's a true inner experience, a true feeling, a true inner feeling of the movement of this essence flowing, it will appear as your need fulfilled, as harmony in some shape or form. But if it's not that true inner capital E experience, if it's just a thought, it won't happen. But we start there. That's not to say that we can't start there. That's exactly where we start, with first contemplating these thoughts, until we slip into the experience. All right, so. And so it is in every area of life. You do not have automobiles stored in your dollar bills or houses or companions. Hey, I just said that. You do not have those within you, but you have the essence and the substance of them. You have the love and the life and the truth, the spirit, the soul, the law. All of these are within you. One with your Father, you are a complete unit. And your Father is this. Your Father is the God that flows as that inner essence, or the Spirit, or the Christ. You are self-fulfilled through your conscious union with God. It has to be conscious. It can't be an unconscious. Well, yeah, I think it is, but I've never really felt it. No, it has to be a conscious. That's why we meditate, so that we can be receptive, so that we can receive Him, this inner movement, and become conscious of it. And then our need is fulfilled out here. It's really quite a wonderful way to live. I love this. Joel is just, there's only one Joel. Suppose you have a few loaves and fishes, but you have a multitude to feed, and you have no storehouse or barns. Now, what can you do? Out of your humanhood? Nothing. Starve. but out of your Christhood, out of the depth of the infinity of your own being, which you must feel consciously. You can look up and bless the loaves and fishes, realizing that these are not material loaves and fishes. No, the essence, the invisible, is the reality. This is God's supply, and it's God's and if it is God's supply, it is infinite and invisible. Then the multitudes are supplied. Out of what? Your storehouse? Your bank account? No. Out of the Father, the Christhood of you. See, out of it can flow millions of words, millions of ideas of truth. So why not millions of dollars, too? What's the difference? There is none, except in your belief, which you have to let go of. The source is the same, the substance is the same. It's this invisible movement of spirit, of Christ. So, it can flow as fishes and loaves, dollars, words of truth, everything. Only, and check this, do not put one in the category of spirit and one in the category of matter. That's what we do. We say, well, yes, I can speak these words of truth and they'll keep flowing and flowing out of the invisible. Ah, but wait a minute, I have to make that car payment next week and I've just been laid off for a lack of business. What am I going to do? You see, you're making one spiritual and you're making one material. That essence will appear as your need fulfilled when you get these ideas of a personal mind out of the way. If once you see that this truth pouring forth is the substance of your loaves and fishes, or your protection, or your safety or security, the fruitfulness of your entire experience will be established for all eternity. Not only for 70 years, but for eternity. You will then be the branch that bears fruit richly, because you'll be self-complete in God. See, it seemed like a little chapter that we wouldn't be able to talk for an hour, but I see it's almost 58 minutes already. Okay, I'm going to be still for a moment. Ready? We just stop. I want to take a moment to thank Betsy for typing up the transcripts of these talks so that we may have them and look at them, perhaps while we listen or perhaps while we sit down on our deck. Thank you. I also want to thank everyone that has taken the time to listen to this. And I can't forget Paul down there in Australia. Hi, Paul. He takes the PDF file and converts it into a document file. Otherwise, I couldn't put it up on the blog very easily. And so I'm grateful. All right. We have moved Mystical Principles. The Yahoo group is no longer in existence. You can write to me if you want to be a part of the new group, or you can go to the Mystical Principles website and click on the email group, and you'll find it. And my email is I am within, all one word, I am within. That's where God hides. iamwithin@gmail.com. Well, I feel a sense of peace. Thank you, and God bless.